Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I thank the Lord for this time that we can share together. It's always such a blessing to my heart. I look forward to this time, and I know many of my faithful, regular listeners do the same. And if you should be a new listener, I welcome you, and I pray that you're blessed in that wonderful name, which is above every name. These last several days, we've been sharing on an episode in the life of Jacob as he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. I've entitled the message, Partakers of the Divine Nature, because as it says in 2 Peter, as we are redeemed out of the corruption of this world, we become partakers of the divine nature through His great, exceeding great, not just great, but exceeding great and precious promises. And so just as Jacob, we're looking at this very interesting and perhaps difficult to understand portion of Scripture where man actually is wrestling with God, Jacob has an encounter at perhaps the most critical time of his life. When he was at Bethel 20 years earlier, he was fleeing from from Esau, going to his uncle Laban. That was a hard time. But now God had blessed him. He now had a family, he had wives, he had servants, he had great wealth and property and herds and flocks, and he had much to lose. And he was fully aware that there was nothing he could do but throw himself on the mercy of God. You know, obviously God's blessings had been upon his life, but his whole lifestyle was characterized by hard bargaining. He was a shrewd businessman, and also there was duplicity. And so at this point in time, he realizes the limitation of his own ability and his need for a miracle. And why is he going back? Well, he's headed and returning to his homeland out of his own desire, but also he had an express directive of the Lord who had appeared to him in a dream while he was yet with Laban. And so this is an amazing chapter, the 32nd chapter of Genesis, where he wrestles with God and he knows it's the Lord. He calls the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face and my life is preserved. And it's so interesting that the angel of the Lord did not prevail against Jacob. He just wanted to get away, but Jacob was not going to let him. He held fast to him, and he said, I won't let you go unless you bless me. So Jacob evidences such an earnestness, an intensity, a tenacity, a drive, and a perseverance that really touched the heart of God. And beloved, such holy determination will never go unblessed. The word of the Lord says that the Lord is speaking, thou shalt find me when thou shalt seek for me with all your heart. And remember in the 15th chapter of Matthew, it was verse 28, there was a woman of Canaan, and her daughter was grievously vexed by a devil, demon possessed, and she kept calling after the Lord, and the disciples wanted to send her away. And even Jesus said, you know, it's not meet to give the children's bread unto the dogs. And then she replied with this amazing statement, true, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And so what does he say? Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And We also know it was by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. I mean, that was an impossible situation, their first conquest, but it wasn't with a sword and javelin and spear. They simply obeyed the word of the Lord. They compassed the city. And remember, that was a highly defense city. The walls were great and thick, but those walls fell down with that shout of praise and faith that the children of Israel did at the sound of the trumpet. So what did Jacob say? He says, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Now, let's look a little bit about that, the blessing. That blessing is a solemn sacred oath, which was a custom in their day, and it could not be withdrawn. See, that was the whole seriousness why Esau hated Jacob so much, because once Isaac had pronounced the blessing and he had forfeited his birthright, well, then that stood. It was not going to be changed. We can see another instance in the life of Jacob later on in Genesis, the 48th chapter, that wonderful story of reunion when Jacob is reunited with his son Joseph, and they dwell in the land of Goshen in Egypt because of the famine that was in all of the land. And so remember, Joseph brings his sons to Jacob, and it says the eyes of Israel or Jacob were dim for age. And in verse 13, Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward his right hand, and brought them near. And it's interesting to note, Israel stretched out his right hand, laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger. You see, the birthright, the blessing came to the oldest one, the eldest, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph, and then Joseph, when he saw what was being done, it displeased him, and he tried to remove his father's hands. And Joseph said, not so, my father, this is the firstborn, put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused. And he said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, but he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. So you see, the blessing was a very sacred, very serious thing. And so when Jacob, also Israel, was asking for a blessing, it was a solemn, sacred oath he wanted confirmed. And so because of this night-long experience in the Lord, because of this earnest intercession, his pleading with God, he was able to meet danger and difficulty and the challenge of that next day with the power of faith. And note, it's very interesting that the Lord did not give him any rebuke. Instead, he gave approval and blessing, and he enters into a whole new relationship with God, signified by his name change. A new name is always indicative of a new nature, and he's called a prince with God, or one powerful with God. So, beloved, what have we done? We've looked at the scriptures. We've read all of that entire end to the end of that chapter, 32, and we've seen what happened. But now let's address the question, why? And I believe there's two levels of significance in this wrestling match, if you will. Jacob, first of all, he was aware of the divine personage. He knew it was the Lord, and he besought him for favor. He needed a miracle. And the fact that they were wrestling meant the angel of the Lord, who, of course, many scholars say is the pre-incarnate Christ, obviously, that angel of the Lord is not going to immediately grant his request. So Jacob physically laid hold of him to prevent him from getting away. And you know, many times God allows testings to come to us to see where we're at. You know, as you read the scriptures, I believe it's in Deuteronomy, Moses saying, you know, the Lord led you through the great and fiery wilderness to see what was in thine heart. God allows the tests of life and the challenges of life to come to see, what are we going to do? How are we going to respond? What are those trials and those troubles you may be facing today? How are you responding? Are you responding in frustration, in anger, in doubt, in confusion? Or are you willing to say, even as Job, yea, though God slay me, yet will I trust him? And that's such a beautiful declaration, because Job, as I've shared this many times, he had no clue what was going on. He did not understand. He knew that he had not willfully sinned. He hadn't done something to just that he was aware of to anger the Lord, and he could not explain why all these things were happening to him, why he suffered his loss, why his children were killed all in a day. So much so his wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" He didn't understand that. But beloved, when we go through the tests, God is looking to see how we respond. And so we see that Jacob came through this trial, and his name is changed to Israel, a prince, power with God as well as with man. Now, let's look at that power with man. And I would suggest to you that it refers to the temporal and the tangible blessings of this realm. It's a good thing. You know, it says of Jesus, he grew in favor with God and man while he was growing up in Nazareth. That's a good thing to have, the favor of man. And of course, I also believe it certainly relates to the supreme gifting of God to be an intercessor. We're all called to intercede and to pray for our rulers, our nation, for the unsaved of this world, for those who are in leadership over us, for the various needs that are in one another's lives, not just our own personal needs, for as we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. That's one of the reasons I give continual invitation for you to write and share your prayer needs. I know some don't have a church home. Some might be listening. This broadcast goes past the Canadian border. There may be small, remote, rural areas where there's not the ability for spirit-filled fellowship. This ministry has been raised up by God to stand as a partner of prayer. So this very calling, this being a prayer warrior, an intercessor, think about it. That's the position that Jesus is now fulfilling. What a high calling. And we, as we desire to bring forth God's will and purposes in the lives of others, we walk in a pleasing way before the Lord. This is a realm of spiritual warfare, but beloved, it works. As Jacob prayed, Esau's heart was changed. And instead of wiping out with an army all that he was and all that he had, he was restored. There was reconciliation as the brothers embraced. Praise God. So it's good to have power with man. Amen. And that's through intercession and through prayer and touching the throne of God. Well, let's find out tomorrow what it means to have power with God. I invite you to tune in at the same time. The announcer will give you our contact information. God bless you. Thank you for listening. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.